Okay, so let me start with the agenda review. We'll do the usual boilerplate IP note, call notes. The scribe selection is change the scribe appointment, and we do have our scribe today already going, Nate Otto. And then we'll move on to introductions, reintroductions, announcements, reminders, as well as progress on action items. And then our main topic will be Gabe Cohen Workday will be presenting their proposed credential schema draft. And he has a few colleagues from Workday joining us as well. So, yes, I'm excited about that. Any comments or proposed changes to the agenda before we get started? Okay. So IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. There's information about how to join here. And one thing I should mention, Nate, I think by convention, we don't scribe the IP note and call notes. Those are sent out in the, agenda. So, just making sure everyone knows that. If you also want to join, and make sure you have a W3C account and the W3C community contributor license is at this link that I'm pasting into IRC. Call notes. These meetings and audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at this location that I pasted into IRC. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. All attendees should type present plus no space in between to get your name on the attendee list in this transcript. In IRC, you can type Q, the letter Q plus, to get yourself on the queue with an optional reminder. For example, Q plus to mention did spec needs something or another. If you're not on IRC, simply ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. And last note, the meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. Off-topic, IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, we have our scribe today, Nate Otto. Thank you very much. And we have the introductions and reintroduction section. I wanted to see if there's anyone new on the call. If you're new, sort of an occasional member who is sort of returning and wants to introduce yourself, please either add yourself to the queue or just speak up. So I see a couple of aliases of people who I haven't seen in a while, or not to shame. Oh, okay. So cool. Chris, I was going to call on you. I thought you had been here before, but Chris from, it's pronounced MITRE, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, cool. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name's Chris Buchanan. I am MITRE's capability area lead for digital identity and working the self-sovereign identity space for MITRE.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. And Chris Boscolo, can I call on you to reintroduce yourself to the group?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, this is Chris Boscolo. I founded Life ID. It's been a while since I've been to this meeting, but I was a regular attender up until about 2 months ago.
Great. Thanks for calling in. Let's see. Okay, that's it for introductions and reintroductions. I'm including a link to the announcements. and reminders. Let me see what we have. It's kind of light at the moment. We'll probably remove this from the announcements, but as you know, we've decided to do our call for scribes in advance. And there's an incentive mechanism that you can find out about if you volunteer to scribe. So we'll be calling for scribes before the Tuesday call going forward, and hopefully this will save some time. We're still having the dedicated DID calls on Thursdays, and the current focus of those is on DID resolution. So the Zoom room is there, and those are Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific time and 8 p.m. UTC. Related to that, which we did not have – hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to – this is Dimitri. A quick clarifying question. Can you say a couple of words about the interaction between that DID resolution call and the DID working group?
If Marcus is on the call, he is not yet. I think the idea, the high level, is that DID resolution, from what I understand, is not in scope of the DID working group meeting. And so these breakout meetings are intended to focus on DID ecosystem-related things that aren't in scope of DID working group, that they can exert requirements onto the DID working group. And, there's generally a lot of intersection, but I've not been able to call in on those because of conflict. So if anyone else has something to add about that, please speak up.
No problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking part of in the context of having participated in those calls. And I think Marcus also has the same sort of question of, what is our relationship to the DID working group? If we, can we suggest stuff to them? Yeah, so I understand. We'll sort it out as we go along.
Yeah. Let's see. But you reminded me that, the DID, if you're calling in to DID working group, remember that the schedule is kind of interesting. It's the fourth Thursday. Actually, Dan's on the call. I may ask him to make sure I'm right, but it's the fourth Thursday of every fourth Tuesday of every month that the time is at other alternate time zone friendly time. Dan, can you speak to that? I think it's the fourth Tuesday of every month is the shifted DID working group call, right?
Actually, it's the fourth and fifth, and they're shifted differently. And this is an attempt to deal with the fact that we live on a round earth. So the first 3 weeks of the month are convenient for U.S. and Europe. The fourth week of the month is convenient for U.S. and Asia, Asia Pacific. And the fifth Tuesday of the month, when it occurs, is going to be a call that is convenient for Europe and Asia Pacific. So that will happen this month. So we have a call today in a few hours, about 6 hours, I believe. And we also will have a call next week at a time that is convenient for Europe and Asia Pacific, but not North America.
Thank you for that. I had an internal working model. It's the last Tuesday of every month. And so I'd been giving people incorrect information. So thank you for clarifying. Yes, reminder that today the DID working group is happening in about 6 hours. Okay, last announcement is that the chairs are going through and closing out action items and work items. What that means is anything that's kind of lingered for a while, we're going through and just making sure that things are getting the attention that they need. So chairs will be calling on you to check on progress, and ideally, if we find people who want to volunteer for tasks, we'll do a match-up and get things moving along. Let me see. Okay, next we'll move on to action items, and I'm not sure if we have anything interesting to review this time. Yeah, so this one, the one that we have right here, is actually not correct. I forgot to close that one out. Let's see. So actually, a good one to bring up, and this is probably the only one to bring up, but I wanted to call out this thing that we discussed, I believe it was last week, which is the tracking of the verifiable credentials maintenance charter. So we talked about this last week, and effectively, I think that Manu had sent out a proposed charter, and you know, we discussed it briefly as a group, and this is the idea that the verifiable credentials working group is done, but how do we keep the verifiable credentials data model up to date? And the proposal was that we do that in the context of the CCG. I opened this issue because I think that I wanted to make sure that we were getting the traction that we needed. Mm-hmm. Do we need to do anything at this point, like take a vote? You know, yeah, I see Manu's on the queue. Manu, can you speak?
Yeah, I think just getting consensus that the community is okay with the charter that's being proposed would be good. So that's something as simple as just, you know, sending out something out to the, well, we could do it two ways. One of them is during the call, we could just say, hey, you know, is everyone okay with the charter, and see how many plus ones, plus zeros, minus ones we get. And then if it looks good, send it out to the mailing list, you know, for further discussion, and just put like a 7-day time block on it, as just general feedback to the W3C management. So I have not received any concerns or objections to the charter, the maintenance charter at this point. It didn't sound like there was anyone that was opposed to that type of thing, and the CCG participating as kind of the consensus body that figures out what has consensus. So I think we're done, right? I mean, I think, you know, we've announced it, nobody objected, and to be truly done with it, I think we should get some feedback from the group, either on this call or a, you know, on the next call. So that's just thoughts.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I like the idea of, you know, sending out the any objections call over email. So I can send that out, you know, if that suffices. Well, if you want to flip that around to say formally, if there's any objections, you know, we're kicking off that process now. I'll send out an email to the mailing list. And so if you have any concerns, questions, please ping the mailing list. But otherwise, I think we can start off that timer today, and I'll just make sure to send out that email. The only question I have for you, Manu, at that point is, do we need official owners of that group, or is that something that we're going to just...
What do you mean by owners of that group?
Sort of like, in general, for work items, we have, what are we calling them now?
Oh,
we spent so long discussing that, I should remember.
Yes. we should, and I would imagine that just by default, it's going to be the chairs of the maintenance working group and the editors that are assigned. Dan, myself, and, you know, anyone else that kind of wants to be in that critical path.
Okay, that's perfect. So I think that's probably all we need for, you know, as input for our chair accounting. So let me assign that to myself to send out the call for objections. And we have you already provided the charter and all of that. So I can link to that, see if anyone has any concerns.
Do you want to kick that off on the call today by just putting a proposal you know, show support for the VC maintenance charter, and then people can plus one it here?
Yeah, what I'm struggling with is I can't find that link right now. Do you have that handy?
I'm struggling to find the link as well. give me a sec. I'll find it, and then maybe we can do it later
cool.
in the call.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. So I think this was actually the only let me check the agenda real fast. Yeah, that's actually the only issue before we move on to the main discussion. So if you want to just send that as soon as you find it, and I can make sure to do that in a break before the end of the call, because we're making good time here.
Okay, will do.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Okay, so we plowed through that, and now we're ready to move on to the main part of the agenda. And let me give a little bit of queuing up. So Gabe from Workday sent a credential schema draft to the mailing list a while back, and I wanted to invite him to the group because there's some interesting discussion in there. Let me send some links. So first of all, this is the just so we don't lose momentum, let me put that on pause for a second, come back to what Manu and I were just talking about. So this is the Verifiable Credentials Working Group proposed maintenance charter. Manu, do you want to give a formal call for vote?
Sure. For those of you that weren't on the other call where we discussed this, there is a proposal to renew the Verifiable Claims Working Group as the Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group. The purpose of this working group is to maintain the specification, making sure that all intellectual property releases are up to date, all bugs are fixed and republished in a timely manner, and in general, make sure that work on the spec continues over the next 2 years. There is the proposed charter is here. So this is the VCWG maintenance proposed charter. So that's there. We did review it on a call before. It's been circulated with the mailing list. Basically we're just checking to make sure that no one would object to the creation of that group, primarily because this group is in charge of kind of making suggestions and gaining consensus around those suggestions before it's sent to that group. Dan's on the queue and probably wants to say something about this. So.
Dan.
Thank you. The one thing I wanted to say is that, just a reminder, this is a maintenance working group, so this is not really intended for any kind of really new work on the spec. It is primarily intended for the bug fixes and whatnot. And in particular, we are not permitted to expand the scope here beyond the scope of the original working group. That's on purpose. This in no way prevents us down the road from rechartering the working group to do brand new work. And in fact, the creation of this maintenance working group may simplify the process later on of creating a more expanded charter. But I did just want people to be aware that this is intended for maintenance work. It's for those bug fixes and whatnot primarily.
Thank you, Dan. And so with that, I think I should phrase the vote as
I've got a proposal, Kim, if you want it.
Go ahead, perfect.
I'm going to put it in as an emote, so you'll have to copy and paste it as chair. So the W3C Credentials Community Group supports the rechartering of a Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group. I don't know if we really need anything more than that, because the context is clear from the minutes.
Right.
Okay, so there it is.
Okay. Thank you for adding this. So I'm going to, and we have Paul Ted on the queue. Paul Ted?
Just quick. Manu, you said explicitly and carefully in your vocals, Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group, but everything in this doc leaves out maintenance.
Yeah, that is wording that I deferred to Philippe. The very end of the document in the charter period for proposed is the group is in maintenance mode, and I think that might have special meaning in W3C management that I don't know, and I was concerned about changing it. So this is mostly text that Philippe proposed, and I think he's okay with it. I think the reason he was avoiding maintenance mode is to keep the possibility open that the group could be recharted to do more than maintenance without, you know, without calling it out. So if
without
you look
changing
at
the name.
With, right, yeah. Exactly. So up at the top, you know, it says the mission of the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is to maintain the data model spec. There's a missing word in there. But I think it's clear in the mission that it says it's to maintain. So up to you, Ted. I don't know if you want to, you know, add a more clarifying sentence, and I think we can do that.
Yeah,
I think the intention's clear.
I'm a little concerned with the having two groups with exactly the same name that started 2 years apart doesn't work for me, especially given that they do have explicitly different tasks.
Got it. So would you be okay with putting that in as like a charter comment when it comes up for a vote? Can we note that here and then take that back to Philippe and let him wordsmith it?
Dan's on the queue.
I can make it an issue. I don't have standing to make a comment at the vote period.
Got it. Making an issue, I think, would be great. Sorry.
Dan, do you have comments on that?
So I wanted to respond to Ted. So the way Philippe explained this to us, Ted, is that working groups typically just continue, right? What happens is so traditionally there would be no new charter or anything like that. They would just continue, but then the understanding would be that they were in maintenance mode only. But Philippe said that they have preferred to have, over time, to have it become a little clearer that it's in maintenance mode. Just by, you know, just adjusting the wording a little bit in the charter to say that. But as Manu described, he didn't want to go as far as changing the name of the group. In fact, if the name of the group were still the Verifiable Claims Working Group, there wouldn't be any change to the name. The only reason we're making that change is because it's an opportunity to, finally. So just to say that we're trying to follow what Philippe considers best practice today, and that's the only reason it was done this way.
So this is actually going to be Verifiable Credentials Working Group?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And looking at the source, the first thing is titled Verifiable Claims, blah, blah, blah.
I don't see that.
It's
charter.
It's not in the rendered. It's the title, which you'll actually see at your browser head.
Oh.
Oh, so the title that shows up in HTML is
Verifiable Claims. And it's just the title, which is what shows up at the top of your browser window if your tabs are small and you're not using Chrome that decided to hide them all, and et cetera. It's just consistency and things that you'd see in different ways.
So, yeah, I think I could be wrong, but I think that's something that we can just fix, right? That's just the metadata.
Correct.
That's not part of this spec. So I think we should just flag that as an issue and fix it. And I think, you know, if there are any, I think we can close it out. I like the idea of that man who said of calling for a vote. If there are any lingering concerns, list them out as a, I don't know if that would count as an objection, but just some response. But then that way we can go back to the W3C powers and see if there's anything we can do. But
I think we
could vote.
I may be seeing this because I followed links, and so I'm looking at the W3C fork and the GH pages branch, and this is not the same as Manu's fork with the current version.
Correct.
So this is
you're looking at an out-of-date copy, Ted, I think. The HTML preview thing is the only thing that's going to give you what the current proposal is. So let me paste that back in the IRC.
So if it's okay, I'll note that and I'll add the proposal. So the W3C Credentials Community Group supports the rechartering of what we're calling a Verifiable Credentials Maintenance Working Group, which has, there may be some issues that Tolpet had just mentioned. But if you're okay with this, please type +1. I think you can also type -1 if you're against it, and in that case, please write in your objections. Any objections, we'll go back and try to address with the, you know, Philippe or whoever is making this decision. Okay, excellent. Okay, we have a lot of plus ones. And so I will follow up afterwards with a call to the mailing list so that people have a chance. And submit PRs for preview linked above. We'll note Tall Ted's objections there. And I don't know the official terminology, but proposed modifications. So otherwise, I think we'll be ready to make the final call next week at the next CCG. Okay, thanks everyone. I think we're ready to move on to the next part of the agenda. Okay, where did we leave? I'm going to paste it in just for continuity. So we have Gabe Cohen from Workday, and he's going to present their draft schema that they've been working on at Workday. Here is the link to the proposal that he sent out to the list. So just to queue up how that's going to happen. So I asked Gabe to present basically an overview of the approach and walk us through that document. So everyone's had this document to review for a while, but if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, you know, now's your good chance to get an overview and do a follow-up afterwards. Specifically, we wanted to see if there's any areas that they'd like feedback on from this community, you know, including any technical issues that they ran into or how they'd like to carry this work forward, you know, as a group. And then for the community, I wanted us to be able to discuss it and have any sort of Q&A sessions. So with that, I'm going to turn over to Gabe and his colleagues to guide us through.
Hi, thanks for the introduction. I'm here with a few of my coworkers at Workday. And to give a little bit more background, I presented this a few weeks ago at IAW on how we at Workday are doing credential schemas. In our platform, these schemas are stored on our ledger and used for validating and giving the data shape to all our credentials. I noticed that reading through the VC data model spec that in section 5.4 on data schemas, there is a note referencing possibility for a JSON schema, but it was lacking an example of what that may look like. And now that we're live, we've announced our platform last week, we needed to agree on a way to have schemas working for our entire platform, have credentials issued against the schemas. So the few things that are interesting about our model is that we have a few pieces of data and then the schema itself. The pieces of data are LD-like, but not using LD at all, just using JSON schema. We have a type that resolves to a document that is a JSON schema itself that validates the schema. And we have a model version, which is not a schema version, but the model version shows the fields in this particular version of a schema. So this model version 1.0 in my examples happens to reference a JSON schema, but you can imagine a future model referencing maybe an LD schema or a JSON schema and an LD schema or something else. So it's fairly flexible. The next property is the identifier for the schema. This is based on a DID. The DID is the author of the schema. A few ideas have been floated around making the author a shared DID, so a number of people who've added their public keys to the DID, not a single individual or entity, but kind of like a GitHub pull request model where people could make changes to a schema on another platform, agree on it, and then it would be written against that DID. And following the DID is an identifier, which is a UUID, and then a version. This is the actual version of the schema. And the version changes when a new version is released, but every other piece of the identifier stays the same. So the DID would be the same, the UUID would be the same, but the version would change. The next is a human-readable name for the schema, the author, which is separate, and then a timestamp of when the schema is authored. Excuse me. Next, we have the schema itself, which is, according to our spec, currently a draft 7 JSON schema. It lists out its properties, formats, and required fields. A few interesting things to note here. We like the use of JSON schema because we don't have to resolve additional documents to know what a credential should look like. We could just resolve a single JSON schema, get all the information about formatting, and validate a credential against that schema. It also helps on issuance when we need to know which fields to fill out. As a recommendation, we've said that additional properties, which is required by JSON schema, should be set to false always to avoid confusion when validating or differences between different issuing parties, including different data. And we might even consider a fork or our own version of the JSON schema that minimizes some of these concerns. Let's see. So the main theory driving the use of JSON schema is that we want to have something that's pretty flexible to allow value to be added at a higher level on our platform. So a few other things like callback, call out later on is the idea that we can have some extensibility in our model version to include fields that may be useful on a platform you may be developing around using schemas. You may want to tag schemas for different searchability in platforms, and you could extend the model to do that. And yes, one thing I didn't mention is signing. Before we write the schema to our ledger, we sign the entire schema. It's not exactly a linked data signature, but looks quite close to it. I would like some feedback there on how we could make that unique to us, so there's no confusion about it being a linked data signature. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Anyone here have anything to add? Yep, happy to.
We have a bit of a. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's it.
We have a bit of a queue added up. So I thought before moving on because I'm first on the queue, and I had a bit of a clarification question for much more basic. I think that. One of the things that was a little surprising to me at first was seeing, it seemed to be almost like a contrast between JSON schema and JSON LD, and whereas they serve very different purposes. So JSON schema, in my mind, is for validating the document and saying like this field should be of certain type and length even, things like that, whereas JSON LD roots the document or the field semantically, meaning like when I use this term like address, this is what it means. So I was also curious to sort of get a bit more of the backstory because I felt like I was maybe missing out on something that was contrasting them a bit, talking about JSON LD versus JSON schema, whereas I thought of JSON schema as sort of an additional optional layer. So I was just curious to get more of your thoughts on JSON LD and sort of any kind of issues that you ran into there.
Yeah, so I think that's a valid point for JSON LD being for semantics. We kind of wanted to just use JSON schema and try to go about agreeing upon what a name is in a different manner by having the concept of authoritative schemas on our platform and creating this versioning system that allows community to agree on different schema types. I would think some of the benefits would be it's a lot lighter weight to have individual schemas that are versioned and hopefully agreed upon. Anything else to add?
I guess that from Workday's point of view, we started out looking at the W3C proposal, and nobody in our group had any familiarity with JSON LD and much more familiarity with JSON and tooling support for JSON. And so I think that we naturally migrated towards looking at JSON schema as a mechanism for defining shape. And I think that when you define shape over time, if you use the same attribute keys, you naturally get to a consistent vocabulary in a very similar way that you do with JSON LD. Part of the problem that we had with JSON LD2 is that it's very dynamic, and we wanted to have mutability controls, or we wanted to have schemas immutable. And so I guess that there's nothing that prohibits us from using LD in the future or providing a secondary level of semantic meaning on top of our schemas, but it could be argued that just the consistent use of attribute keys inside of the JSON schema can substitute, as in many systems, I think, who have used JSON over the past decade have probably come to semantic consistency in vocabulary use.
Great. So we have a lot of people on the queue. Ori, you're up next.
Hey, can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So thanks for the presentation again. I attended the IIW session. We at Transmute also use JSON schema and JSON LD together, so I'm like really excited about work you're doing, particularly the self-documenting JSON schema bits of it, which are in other ways, they're related to other products that people may be familiar with, like Snowplow. So if you're interested in JSON schema system, that's another good technology to go look at. My main question, I guess, is the same one I raised at the IW session. Properties in the credential format, and that the keys that are being secured, the object members that are being secured by the schema themselves, in a lot of cases have overlapping values with terms from the JSON LD signatures ecosystem, like ED25519 verification key, which to me means that you are using a JSON linked data signature. And so I have the same feedback that I did at IIW, which is if you're not using JSON linked data signatures, we should be much more clear about the fact that we're not doing that. And I would personally like to see support for JSON linked data signatures along JSON schema in a standard credential schema format. So my proposal would be to add explicit support for JSON LD to the spec itself. And if that doesn't to make it not supported and not use overlapping terms, because one of the things that is super confusing about JSON LD is like people do half implementations of it, and then it just sort of weakens the JSON LD spec as a whole by muddying the waters. So I don't want that to happen with this, and I want to use the spec the way that it sort of looks, with the implied assumption that it would support JSON LD. And I'm happy to help contribute to that, especially if this item were adopted as a work item for the working group. Thanks.
So I
Thanks,
think
Ori. Go ahead.
Sorry. That's valuable
yes,
feedback.
Yeah, it's tuning you up.
We're happy to support JSON LD linked data signatures, and maybe would appreciate some suggestions on how we could define another signature format that clearly is not linked data to avoid ambiguity.
Excellent. Manu, you're up.
Yeah, so I wanted to focus on some of the really good things that I think all of us agree on, right? So I think, like, clearly the community needs this specification. We need a way of specifying credential schemas and doing it in a way that hopefully the entire community gets behind. And, you know, I think this is like a super solid start at doing that. So, you know, the way that, you know, a lot of this data is laid out, the fact that you're using JSON schema, you know, the fact that there's like this linked data proof, the idea that you may want to do some kind of cryptographic hashing of the schema or store it on Ledger, like those are all, I think, really solid use cases and requirements that the community has identified. So I think that's fantastic. My question had more to do with, like, you know, okay, like if the group feels that this is, you know, a solid place to start, then, you know, is this a CCG work item? Is it a diff work item? Like, how do we all get together and collaborate on this, I guess, is my general question.
Actually, yes, I wanted to see if Gabe or anyone from Workday has a comment on that. Otherwise, if you have a comment, please add yourself to the queue and we'll keep working through.
Looking for you all as for guidance on how we can best contribute.
Great, and we'll continue this conversation. We still have Marcus on the queue.
Yeah, so I agree with others. This is a very interesting piece of work. It's great. I had a question about the identifiers that you're using for locating the schema on the ledger. So you're taking the date of the author of the schema, and then you're constructing a data URL based on that to identify the schema. I think there have been a lot of discussions in some communities on how DDURLs could be used for locating resources on a ledger. I think the way you do it is perfectly fine. It's very interesting. I guess there may also be other ways of doing it, like using path or query components of a DDURL rather than the matrix parameters, but there is no right or wrong. I guess the one thing I wanted to note is you're calling this method specific date parameter. That's actually not correct the way you did it, because a method specific parameter would have to be qualified by the date method. But that's just a small detail. Otherwise, I think it's fascinating that you're doing it with DDURLs.
Yeah, one of our architects actually pointed that out to me last night. I think I had originally implemented it when that matrix parameter suggestion was still in flight. So I think it is just a generic parameter, but that could be revised.
Manu, you're up.
Yeah, so you know, you were saying, you know, you're looking for kind of guidance on how to do the work. I mean, this is like, I feel like this has like community work item written all over it. I think you're getting like a bunch of positive feedback on the, hey, this looks interesting to the community, and it'd be awesome if we could kind of pull it in and incubate it. And the fact that, you know, we just talked about having a verifiable credentials working group that's in maintenance mode and could spin up and do something pretty quickly, you know, if we found something to do, like this looks like something that could be not fast-tracked, but I mean certainly move through the standardization process pretty quickly, right? So I think like the rough outline of this document is really good, and a lot of the stuff, you know, that we need to kind of hone in on is just some of the details, right? So like, you know, matrix parameter format, maybe use of JSON LD or not, proof mechanism, you know, what does it look like? But outside, and then some general like, you know, terms that are used, like the name and author and authored stuff. But like, I don't see a lot of controversial stuff here, which means that we could probably move it through this community pretty quickly and potentially even get it on the standards track pretty quickly. So anyway, that's the suggestion. Like, I mean, I'm seeing a pretty clear path through with this document. So you know, plus one, if it becomes a CCG work item, I think it would make it much easier for all of us to collaborate on it in a way that puts it on a fast track to standards, you know, through the standards process. The other comments I had more to do with, you know, the comments that, you know, Ori and Kim were making around, you know, JSON-LD or not JSON-LD, and then the proof formats and conflict resolution. I think that there's a knowledge gap there that, you know, the community can help fill. They are definitely not, they were never designed to be, they were always designed to be complementary. So, you know, it's not that JSON schema does, it's not like they're at, you know, at Loggerheads, it was supposed to be easy to mix in JSON-LD and JSON schema and put them together. That's why the VC spec has, you know, kind of a call out to a JSON schema. In our work over the last 12 years, we have cleanly put JSON schema and JSON-LD together across a variety of customer projects cleanly and in a way that doesn't actually require you to do any kind of JSON-LD processing. We were very careful in how we designed the verifiable credential spec to make it so that you did not have to pull in any of the complexity there. So I see a path forward where you could actually use JSON-LD where it would not negatively impact you from like a now everyone has to, you know it perspective and kind of, you know, build a bridge between those ecosystems and make them compatible with plenty of upsides like, you know, semantic, you know, you're clear on your semantics, you're clear on the shape of the thing without, you know, pushing this, you know, pushing entities to have to use JSON-LD processors or things of that nature. So just putting that out there, like there are a number of, I think, clean examples that we've gotten to, clean examples of us getting organizations that do not want to use any JSON-LD processors to still use the framework of JSON-LD without the added complexity of the processors. So anyway, that's a discussion point, I think, for the future. The other point I wanted to make was around the proof. And what Ori pointed out is true. Like, I mean, if you use that ED25519 verification key thing, like, you're kind of asking for interoperability pain further on down the road. But you can define your own thing, right? That's one of the things that, you know, the linked data proofs, linked data signatures let you do is, like, if you wanted to create like a workday verification key 2018 method or a workday signature scheme that in fact did not use JSON-LD at all and you use some other canonicalization mechanism and everything, like you can do that today with the specs. So I think that, you know, you've got multiple people in this community that would be happy to help you with that. Understanding that, you know, clearly we've gotten to like the linked data signatures and linked data proof stuff through, you know, 15 years of quite a bit of iteration and design work and that sort of thing. So a couple of the things that I don't know if it was Gabe, you or Joe or Bjorn or Jonathan, I don't know who on your team said it, but there were a couple of things that were said about, you know, well, the semantics become clear over time, that I think, like, that's problematic, like, meaning, like, the whole reason JSON-LD came about is because the semantics did not become clear over time, and we had a whole bunch of systems kind of bumping into each other. But whether or not, you know, you buy into that, there are ways of constructing this in a way that does not, that reduces the chances that we're going to have interoperability concerns over time. So I'll just leave it there. Like, there's a lot of really great detail stuff to talk about here. And I think the community has a bunch of really good answers to how you do this in a way that generates interoperability over the long term. But before we get there, we probably need to decide whether or not, like, we're working on this as a community. And just to reiterate, it's a plus one for me. I'd love to see this work done as a work item in this community. That's it.
Yeah, there's a lot. It sounds like there's a lot of support for that. And we have people on the queue. I did want to see Gabe or someone from one of your colleagues. Do you have any responses to anything Manu just said just now?
Nothing in particular. Thank you. It's
okay.
All good feedback.
Okay.
And
I do have one question. I believe inside of the verifiable credentials data model specification, it points to another document for the security vocabulary or the and the linked data signatures. I don't know if it's a proposal or what the status of that document is, but I'm pretty sure that it calls up specifically that the type of the signature schema should be defined in that other corresponding document. And it was a little unclear. Manu, you did say that we are free to develop our own signature suite. And I was just wondering whether or not there's any conflict between us trying to do, there's certainly, we can fit it in the data model, but if we actually need to have a proposal for disambiguating what Workday is doing, do we actually need to submit a proposal somewhere? And if we're not using linked data, it seemed like it was inappropriate to submit a signature scheme to the linked data signatures. If that makes sense.
Yes, definitely. And Manu added himself to the queue to respond. I'm going to work through Dan Burnett first.
Yeah, this is a bit of a change in direction. I just wanted to ask, and by the way, this does sound good. Lots of people are interested in it. My question is kind of a little early, but relevant if you think that this work might eventually make it to a standards track. I just want to make sure that you guys are completely comfortable, since this is coming as a proposal from you. If this work went into the community group and eventually the standards track, if you would have any problems, committing to a royalty-free license for anyone who implemented and made use of this. I'll just leave it at that.
Great. I imagine you guys have to go back and talk to powers that be about that. So if you want to respond to that, we'll get to you in a second. But otherwise, I'm going to call on Nate. Nate, you're up.
Cool. If someone can start for me, feel free.
Yeah.
So I put a link to Open Badges. Just one example from past work of a specification that has made use of JSON LD plus JSON schema is the extensions mechanism as part of Open Badges 2.0. Extensions is not a very broadly implemented part of Open Badges in the ecosystem, but we do have a variety of vendors and data interoperability between them who developed their own JSON LD context files for their extensions and their own JSON schemas for the extensions that can pass through a standardized verification mechanism to validate the data, so that as you validate a awarded Open Badge, it's possible to see that it has an extension, and then to go and get the semantic anchoring for that extension, in the JSON LD context, which then has a reference to a JSON schema and a little method for anchoring what part of the badge should be validated against the schema. Works pretty well. We have a handful of extensions, some that my organization, Concentric Sky, the Badger team, has authored, and some that have been authored by some of our other collaborators or competitors in the space.
Thank you, Nate. Manu, you're up.
Sorry, scribing. So what was I going to say? I think Gabe asked, with respect to LD signatures, where do you define your own thing if you want to define it? Does it need to be in the linked data security, context, or can it be elsewhere? And so this basically raises the general question of extensibility and the difference between the type of extensibility that's done through registries like the IETF in general, and the type of extensibility that's done through JSON-LD, which is we're calling it decentralized extensibility, right? So the question is, do you do your extensibility through a registry, or do you do it in a decentralized manner? With JSON-LD, it's done in a decentralized manner. The registries are optional, right? So we have a couple of registries that the CCG maintains, and you know, putting your information in that registry is completely optional because the fundamental technology that we're using, which is linked data, allows you to extend in a decentralized manner. So what this means for Workday is if you wanted to, and again, this is not what I'm suggesting you do. This would be like, please don't do this. But if you wanted to, you could extend in a way where it's just a whole bunch of proprietary Workday extensions. It's built on top of the stuff that we've already have, like verifiable credentials and everything. But if Workday wanted to produce your own signature mechanism, your own key formats, your own extensions to the verifiable credential stuff, you could do all of that without interacting with anybody else in this community, as long, you can do all of that regardless, right? But if you want to do it in a way that will not lead to interoperability conflicts in the future, all you need to do is specify one JSON-LD context, like the Workday JSON-LD context, and put all your stuff in there, and you will have like global interop if you do that, right? Meaning that there won't be naming conflicts, there won't be, a conflict, but at the same time, you can kind of do whatever you want. And it may get to the point where other people find that useful, and then they'll start using the Workday JSON-LD context. So this really speaks to like the extensibility model that we have for verifiable credentials, and basically a lot of the stuff in this ecosystem, decentralized identifiers, verifiable credentials, which is we're using JSON-LD to do decentralized extensibility, which means nobody has to ask permission from anyone to do their own thing. But if their own thing becomes this really useful thing to the community, we don't have to do anything at that point in the future. Whereas the current state is like, it's like it becomes useful and then all of a sudden you have to spin up a new working group to standardize, everything. With at least JSON-LD semantics and linked data semantics, you don't have to do any of that stuff. So all that to say that, there are a couple of options that Workday has in front of them. The first one is just like do your own thing, not really care too much about interop, or take the philosophy that you outlined on the call and just run with it, right? That'll probably lead to interop conflicts later on down the road. The second thing you could do is super lightweight, which is just define your own JSON-LD context and just make it a URL and put it there. And then if you include that at the top of your documents, then Workday is not prevented by anyone in the community from just going off and doing their own thing anyway, but you're guaranteed good interop in the future if you do that, all the way to you really adopt JSON-LD as like the interoperability mechanism or the extension mechanism. And if you do that, then you're completely aligned with the ecosystem and more than likely a lot of the context and stuff that you do end up getting pulled into the core of the community. So there are three paths forward, and they're kind of like progressive enhancements to what you're doing right now. So I would expect us to kind of talk about that kind of thing if this were to become a work item in CCG. Hopefully that answers your where does this go question.
And about that, we are at 1 minute before. We have Gabe on the queue. I want to thank you guys for presenting, and I will be following up with you to talk about how we go about making this work item. But Gabe, you're up.
Thanks. Just to respond to the regulations question.
Yeah, so there was a question regarding royalty-free use of this, and we would love to be able to open source all of this, and so we're working with legal to be able to do that. So looking forward to having this be part of this working group.
Excellent. Thank you. That's very exciting to hear. And we are at time. Thanks again. It was great to have this presentation in general, more discussions about the JSON-LD schema. Very informative. So thanks a lot, and we'll see you next week.